right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Welcome,
hey,
to the very first episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Right.
But still, we're numbering it. So
right. This is still episode 198.
198.
Right.
We're not pulling a Marvel Comics here.
No, we are not. We are not reimagining.
Right.
The show.
We're not. We're not pulling one of those, we'll change the title by a word and then renumber it so we can have a brand new number one.
Right, with a platinum, titanium, nuclear-resistant cover.
Right, or in another example, we're not simply ending a book and then restarting it for no reason, a la Moon Knight.
Right.
Oh, but no, that was a title change, sorry. Vengeance
of Moon
Knight. We could
call this Ultimate Big Kev's Geek.
We could, except except no. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we are.
Many of you listened to the SiriusXM show this Saturday night?
I certainly did.
Well, I would hope so. You were there.
And unfortunately, we will not be able to share those with the podcast audience.
That is correct.
However,
although I hear through the grapevine.
I hear other people are sharing them.
That someone has found a way to share it with you if you're clever.
Yes. So. Apparently, somebody is posting it somewhere out there on a torrent or something.
Someone's thinking of you?
Yes, somewhere out there. If you really want to hear this stuff, our SiriusXM stuff, apparently you can find it.
Apparently. Yeah. But that'll be.
We don't have nothing to do with it, though.
Ooh.
We are concentrating fully on giving you the complete rundown.
I'm doing this show. I'm doing that show. I'm doing other personal side projects. I don't have time to be doing that kind of shit.
Exactly.
That's more work.
Exactly.
Work.
Not to mention, we have jobs.
Right.
Lives.
Right.
You know, these things.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Well, looks like that remained the same.
Here's a guy that wants to serve his country, but he's not a flag waver. We're reinterpreting sort of what the comic book version of Steve Rogers was. It's also the idea that this is not about America so much as it's about the spirit of doing the right thing. It's an international cast and an international story.
Okay. Is that describing the new Steve Rogers American miniseries or whatever it is?
That is the Joe Johnston description of the Captain America film.
Oh.
That's like that's kind of like a little bit of a plot point, maybe?
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I both understand this and don't understand it. I appreciate the idea that it is an international storyline.
Okay.
I understand that. However, he is an American soldier.
In World War II.
Fighting on the side of America.
It's you know what? It's even more than that. And this is what bothers
me. What I'm wondering, though, is I'm wondering if this is going to be part of the transformation from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. Like, World War II, he obviously is going to be a flag waver. He's going to be an American soldier.
It's more than that.
Right. I understand that. He's fighting for the people.
Do you remember the origin of Captain America? Can I refresh you?
Sure.
You have Steve Rogers,
right,
who I guess after Pearl Harbor or whatever, goes down to his local recce to sign up, and they turn him away because he's too scrawny and small. But because he's so patriotic and so wants to fight for his country, he accepts the thing to be part of some experiment that the army is doing. It could kill him, is all as he know.
Well, I hate to say it, but you don't necessarily need to have all of that in the movie. You could tweak that a little bit. You could change that a little
bit. I don't see how.
How
is he Captain America at that point?
Because he could just be recruited into the program. Given the serum, made a soldier, etc. It doesn't have to be this whole big patriotic buildup. I understand why it was done in the book, considering when it took place and what was going on at the time and the story that it was trying to convey. I'm just saying, as a modern reinterpretation of the character, you don't necessarily need that aspect. Again, he's still fighting on the side of the Americas. He's still an American soldier. I mean, you can't really get away from that entirely. So I wonder how this is actually going to play out into the story.
Not well, I'm thinking.
Well, we'll see. Okay. We'll see.
Just saying.
All right. Sam Raimi.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with... No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I heard something about he just picked up a new gig or something.
Yeah, have you heard of the comic or the graphic novel ERP? Saints and Sinners?
I have, actually.
I haven't read this.
I haven't either.
But I guess this is a reimagining of Wyatt Earp?
I don't know.
It's supposed to take place in Las Vegas.
Right.
And I believe that it's a reimagination. I mean, clearly it's a reimagination if it takes place in Vegas.
Okay.
And I think he's on like a motorcycle. He got like a shotgun.
Is he modern?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if this is one of those, this is the great, great, great grandson of Wyatt Earp stories.
Which would be impossible as he had no children.
Right. Or if this is just a modern Wyatt Earp.
Take him
out of the Old West, put him someplace else that would need his type of justice and make a book about it.
Interesting.
Either way, the graphic novel ERP, Saints and Sinners, Sam Raimi has apparently signed on to direct and produce this film sometime in the future.
Starring Bruce Campbell.
I haven't heard that, although that would be interesting. Now, I hear that at Comic-Con that they're going to make some sort of announcement about this project as well.
Oh, yeah?
I think there might be some concept art already that's been established. And
casting?
I don't think casting yet. I think this is early stage.
Okay.
Early stage. Now, I don't know. I don't know who exactly is going to be doing this, although it's in conjunction with DreamWorks, Radical Studios, and Mandeville. DreamWorks typically has a panel each Comic-Con to talk about
stuff,
some of the bigs going on.
Right.
So this might be part of that panel. That would seem to be where it would fit in most likely. So there you go.
There you go.
Breck Eisner. He was the director of The Crazies. Uh-huh. The modern version of the crazies, the uh-huh. new version of the, of which we gave out a plethora of.
Yes.
On the Sirius XM show.
We did. We gave out a lot of prizes on that
we
show.
Did.
If you haven't tuned in.
That was one of the positive things I heard about the show, that we gave out a lot of prizes.
A lot of prizes, yeah.
So Breck Eisner is working on an updated version of Flash Gordon movie. Now, we've heard about this.
Yeah, for like 3 years.
Right. So the comic from the 1930s was made into a serial in the 50s, and then the 70s, the director in the 50s and the 70s, then the director's version in the 80s. Eisner said, it was campy and the effects were not so good. This version is in no way a remake. Our version goes back to the strips from the 30s, and we will update those and shoot the movie as if the strips were drawn today. It will be an action and adventure science fiction movie.
Uh-huh. Fail.
That's a good start, no? You think it has to be campy to succeed?
No. Oh, no, not at all. I just think it's done. You know, I think the wonderful TV show, nail in the coffin.
I think the wonderful TV show was a wrong approach to it.
Okay.
And I also think that there is a resurgence of the pulp characters, comic book wise.
Well, clearly.
And film wise.
But they haven't, I think Flash is the one that they just haven't been able to be successful with.
But maybe he will be.
I read that Flash Gordon comic that came out recently. By whoever it was, that was pretty good, but I can't imagine them making a movie out of that particular version. So I don't know. I just don't know that we're going to get something.
Well, this is slated for release next year.
All right. Well,
I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yep.
Something I'm not waiting for is Ghost Rider. Did you hear that on, was it on Kimmel, I think it was? That Nick Cage confirmed. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was on Ferguson. It was on Craig Ferguson. Cage confirmed that he definitely is returning for Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. Probably not after last weekend's miserable Sorcerer's Apprentice.
No, this was just like in the last week or so that he said that.
Yeah, I know. Was it after the, less than 16 million box office for Sorcerer's Apprentice?
I heard some mixed reviews around it. I heard that some people enjoyed it. And I heard everybody else hated it. So,
I heard it was hogwash.
I didn't see it, so I can't clearly pass judgment on it. I do like Jay Baruchel. I don't really like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. I liked him in Kick-Ass.
You know, Sorcerer's Apprentice, I don't know that it's a strong... I think Disney has fallen into this pitfall of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Which was... I don't know if it was lucky or if it was just... well handled,
probably all of those things.
You know, it was. I mean, it had a really dedicated actor, eccentric actor in the lead role. Not to mention Orlando Bloom, who was
pretty
big at the time and pretty. I really think that the stars were aligned for that. And I'm not knocking it. I'm a fan of the trilogy. I'm looking forward to On Stranger Tides. As a matter of fact, I think we saw a picture today.
First image
was released of Johnny Depp. Redonning the Captain Jack Sparrow garb, if you will. So, I don't think Disney's going to strike gold twice.
Certainly not with that movie.
Country Bear Jamboree was a failure. Haunted Mansion was a failure.
Oh yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know, I just
they got to stop making movies out of rides.
Nah. I mean, Sorcerer's Apprentice really isn't based on a ride. It's based on a short, but still, it's a bit iffy.
I would
agree. Adrian Brody, hot off of the exciting bandwagon of Predators, which I hear is excellent.
I hear it was
awesome, and it's a shame that we haven't seen it yet.
Right,
when did it open? That 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, something like that. We gotta go.
Well, apparently the rumor mill has Adrian Brody being at the top of the list
for the next Predators movie,
for Ant-Man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. No, I'm not seeing that.
I was much more comfortable with Fillion in that role.
Yeah. How did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, again, look, this is the rumor mill. We haven't even heard confirmation that Ant-Man will actually appear in the film. So, you know, you have to take it all with a grain of salt.
Brody would be Hank Pym?
Yeah, I don't see that.
I don't see that either.
I don't see that. But, you know, grain of salt. Much like you have to take... the rumor that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is sashaying his way into the role of the Riddler.
Well, all right. I think it's a little different rumor than that. Now, that the rumor is, or not the rumor, but the facts are, there was some sort of casting sheet that said the Riddler on it. So clearly the Riddler is going to be in the movie, one assumes.
Assuming that the people talking about the casting sheet actually
right.
know what they're talking about.
They also said that the character is between 35 and 45 years old. Joseph Gordon-Levitt looks like he's 15.
Yeah,
he is 30, whatever he is. 29, is that what he is? I think he's 29.
I don't know. 35 to 45 is pushing it.
A lot. I mean, it's not like he's 30. It's not like he's 29 and he looks like, all right, I could maybe pass for my early 30s. He's 29. He looks like a 15-year-old.
Have you seen, there's a campaign online. I know there's a YouTube video. Okay. There's a website, too, for Michael Emerson. As the Riddler?
No, who's
There's
Michael
this, like,
Emerson?
Ben Linus from
Lost. Yeah, you know
There's
why?
This whole online campaign.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome idea. I absolutely see him in that role.
I think
very conniving.
Right.
Very kind of smart. Very kind of unimposing.
Right.
You know, I think him as Edward Nygma is a in the Nolan universe is a magical fit.
Right.
I mean, I really honestly believe that that's a great fit.
Well, it doesn't look like they're going to go in that direction.
Well, I don't know. I hope they don't.
And he kind of looks the part, too, you know, a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I think that he would slide into that. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like...
pretty. Not by my standards, but...
No, but he's not... I don't know. Edward Nygma was kind of geeky, wasn't
beady.
He? Kind of goofy,
yeah,
beady.
Exactly.
I don't picture... Joseph Gordon, I don't picture him as
yeah,
that.
Frank
that.
Gorshin in the old TV show is a beady little dude. Yeah, I mean, you know, with the exception of...
I mean, unless you're going to go with that, like, gothy
that's what I was
Marilyn
just gonna
Manson
say. Yeah, the,
version of the Riddler
that
from...
was the Batman.
From the Batman
the animated,
series.
The animated series. That would be the most recent Batman animated series. Not Brave and the Bold, the one that came just before that.
Right, right.
Where they did all the radical redesigns on all the villains.
Right.
Yeah, unless if you're going that direction, then certainly other people could be considered for the role. But honestly, I don't see Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I guess the Emerson cat might be okay, but I'm just kind of I'm iffy about Riddler following the Joker.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the only way I can see it is I think we discussed this on the show once before. If somehow the Riddler was sort of a fanatical fan of what the Joker did, you know what I mean, and he's setting out on his own to kind of do something. I don't know.
I think he's a smart character. I think he's not quite as anarchist as the Joker
right.
is. There's certainly a little bit more rhyme to his reason,
right?
And I think he's different enough from the Joker to stand on his own and to follow up as a legitimate villain,
maybe.
Let's talk about images that appeared online this week that we want to mention.
Did you pull and send me these images?
No, but you looked them up right before the show.
I did?
So there's that.
Oh, okay.
There are three in particular.
Well, before you go on, let's say that, of course, on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Right.
If you're listening on one of your preferred devices, Apple, iPhone, iPad, iTunes,
QuickTime.
You can see some of the related images of things that we're talking about. They'll pop up right on those devices.
Yeah, man.
iPod. That's it. I knew I forgot.
Wow.
iPod.
That device is so old at this point.
I know.
Point.
I'm just like, woo. You can see some of the related images, as I said, pop up right on those devices. If you don't have one of those devices, you're listening to us online or listening to us in your car or wherever, you can always go over to the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and you can check out the episode gallery for this episode, episode 198, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, and check out the image gallery. You can see those images there.
Right.
Yes.
Back on track.
Sorry.
Images.
Images.
There were three.
Three.
First was Thor.
Uh-huh.
And the hammer.
Okay. Yeah,
looks good.
A gritty Hemsworth.
Chris
that
Hemsworth,
trying to pull the hammer out of a rock.
Mjolnir.
Yeah,
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. The hammer. That's what it is. Stupid name.
Whatever it is. But yeah, actually, I was having a conversation online with someone last week because there was an image that popped up last week of Odin, Thor, and Loki.
Right.
I was online. And they were like, what do you think of this new Thor image? And I'm like, we've seen Odin already. We've seen Loki already. And we've seen Thor already. So this image doesn't do anything for me. And
the cat's out of the bag.
I said, the picture that I really want to see is him with the hammer. And while certainly this isn't exactly what I meant.
Right.
It's a start. It's the right step.
Eh.
It's positive forward momentum.
Meh.
That being said,
I told you until I'm sitting in the theater.
Yes, I know, because clearly it's not happening at this point.
No one's saying it's not happening, but I have strong, holy shit, strong reservations about this movie.
Well, that's different than until you're sitting in the theater, you don't believe it's going to exist.
Okay.
Just two saying. Concept images that appeared online this week also.
Yes.
These are concept banners that are premiering at San Diego, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess they're not really premiering at San Diego.
Banners or posters?
Well, I believe that there are two promotional banners.
Okay.
Which then might be shrunk down and distributed as posters as okay. a promotional item. Neither of these are actual shots from the film. I think they're both painted, although they look realistic. I mean,
right.
There's a Cap one and a Thor one.
Yes.
The Cap one clearly is Chris Evans
right.
as Cap, and the Thor one is clearly Chris Hemsworth as Thor and that dude as Loki.
The dude.
As Loki. I forget his name off the top of my
head.
Yeah,
no. They're really both stunning, stunning images.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought they were really killer. Kind of upset not going to San Diego because I'd really like that Cap one, I think.
I know. Very sad. Very sad.
eBay.
Yeah, I know. It'll be there.
Undoubtedly.
The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
Two bits of news regarding this. We got our first full cast image online at the end of last week. And it looks fucking amazing. Cannot wait for this show. And I hear that there's a panel with some actual footage from the show at San Diego.
Right.
So hopefully we'll hear a little bit about that next week's show. We'll talk about that. And also, I guess they're launching a Walking Dead motion comic.
Yes.
This week as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you
Clips
can check
will be
that out.
At the AMC site, which may be right. AMC.com, but I'm not sure.
But I'm not sure.
Put it up so, on the
yeah, I'll put it up
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Like in a thing.
You know, if you have comments on some of these stories that we're talking about, or you'd like us to talk about a particular story or product, or you want to hip us to something that you dig, you want to go over to our hotline.
425-920-6050.
Right, and you can leave us a message over there at our voicemail, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, or maybe even Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the other show.
The SiriusXM satellite
XM.
Show.
Yeah.
We do have one more news story before we take our first break.
Okay.
Which I'm sure is going to spawn more than one news story.
Okay.
And that is Chuck has been confirmed for season 4.
Okay.
And Olivia Munn is going to be guest starring in the season premiere.
Phony.
Which starts sometime in the fall.
Phony.
All right.
She's a phony.
I know.
So, recently...
Yes.
On our first SiriusXM show, we what?
Oh, good.
We played an interview that I had taped with Olivia Munn. You know, where we were asking her a variety of things, and I want you to listen to this clip. We're not going to play the whole thing on the show, of course. If you're able to find somehow the underground version of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the XM Sirius show. You can hear the whole interview, but we won't play the whole interview here. But here's one clip that I wanted to share.
Now I'm going to go completely in the different direction. I'm going to ask you a very geeky question.
Yes.
What kind of D&D character does Olivia Munn play?
Huh. I don't play Dungeons & Dragons. That's because my mom, she put like kind of a, you know, there's 5 kids in our family. Mm-hmm. And we were only allowed to have one console or in back, you know, when I started, like, I remember the first was Atari. We got,
right.
And then we got the Sega, then we got the Nintendo,
mm-hmm.
and then the Super Nintendo. And we had the one Game Boy for 5 kids in the family.
Wow.
And we would fight over it. And we would, you know, when you would hear like somebody die, you're like, you died. Okay. That's one. You died again. Okay, got one more life. I heard that life. Okay, and then we would like just track each other. So we learned to turn the volume down.
Right.
So like no one would hear us die. We just restart over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And then my family, we're Asian, so we hit a lot. Just like it's okay in our family, like just like throwing crap, like whatever you see. If there's an Asian person around, just make sure like you're in like a padded area, because she'll just, my mom will throw anything. We'll just hit everybody, and we would just get into huge fights. So my mom put like a kibosh on like a lot of computer games and right. video games for us. So by the time that I learned about Dungeons and Dragons and people in school were playing it, I wasn't allowed to play.
That's terrible.
But at G4, you know, I remember my first like 6 months there. I came in on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and it was all dark in there. And I went to go turn on the lights. And they're like, turn off the lights. I'm like, what's going on? And there's like my producers from Attack of the Show, like in there with their headsets on and everything's going. I mean, they were like in huge Dungeons and Dragons mode, like wow. hardcore.
Now, clearly in that clip, she says, I've never played D&D.
Right.
Right.
I hear that.
Page 227 of the book, Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek by Olivia Munn with Mac Montandon. Page 227, it reads thus. Why would I rather date a geek? Because they're who I relate to the most. They're the ones who always saved a seat for the new girl at the lunch table or invited me to play Dungeons and Dragons in the computer lab at recess when they needed the services of a halfling illusionist. Now, call me crazy, but that sounds to me like a person who has played Dungeons and Dragons, as opposed to somebody who says she's never played Dungeons and Dragons. Not only that, but also seems to think Dungeons and Dragons is a computer game. Again, with referencing the computer lab. She went on for about 5 minutes about how she couldn't play Dungeons and Dragons because they only had one Game Boy for the whole family. And then when she first went to G4, she actually walked into guys playing Dungeons and Dragons with the headsets on and everything else, which is clearly not Dungeons and Dragons. So I just want to set the record straight. I don't want to go through and nitpick every little single thing in the interview that identifies her as a phony, but this is the largest one right here. Phony, 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 Olivia Munn. What, is she attractive? Maybe. I didn't think so really that much. You know, I think Felicia Day is better looking, and she's actually a geek as opposed to Olivia Munn, who is attractive to some people and a fucking phony on top of that. And down off my soapbox.
Let's take a break.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 198, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Uh-huh.
Did I do that right?
Yes, very good.
I wanted to make sure, because I didn't know if I had to say, welcome back to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 198, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast. Seemed a bit redundant. I'm not sure.
I think, but from this point on, when you're coming back from a break, we'll probably say, welcome back to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Episode such and
what
such.
What such so
all right, good.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
A couple of DVDs we should probably mention that came out this week.
Uh-huh.
Mostly because they were in our genre or involve friends of the show. The Losers.
That came out on DVD this week?
Regular and Blu-ray out on DVD this week based on the graphic novel.
I actually didn't see the film version.
No, but I heard it was pretty good. I mean, as compared to the comic, it didn't do well in theaters.
Yeah, but, you know.
But damn it, not going to go.
Always that's never a full indication.
Best Buy Billy did not call me and was like, where are you? The Losers came out. So I got problems with Best Buy Billy.
Maybe he just assumed you were coming.
Well, that's a kind
of not a good
thing.
Maybe he was running for governor.
I doubt it.
You never know. Cop Out, out on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Uh-huh.
Of course, a film directed by pal of the show, Kevin Smith, starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Uh-huh.
You can run out there and pick that up.
Yeah, run right out.
Oof. Also, Super Friends, Season 1, Volume 2, out on
Super
DVD.
Super Friends, right? Season 1, Volume 2.
Yes. We talked about Season 1, Volume 1
I
when
think
it came
we did,
out.
Yeah.
It was is several the, weeks back.
Yeah, is this the Xan and Jaina and Gleek ones, or is this Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog?
I don't know.
You see a dog on the picture?
I don't see a dog in the picture.
Hmm.
So
Some Vulcan-looking people in purple suits or a monkey?
No. The picture has, you know, Supes, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, you know, the regulars.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Let's see. What else? How about Tin Man on Blu-ray this week? If you were a fan of that sci-fi series, it's available now on Blu-ray.
That hasn't been available before now on Blu-ray?
I don't think on Blu-ray. Huh. I think it was available regular.
That's interesting.
I know the DVD has been out for quite some time, but
I found that very amusing, for lack of a better word.
What, the Tin Man?
Tin Man,
I liked
yeah.
it. Yeah, I actually really liked it.
Yep.
And then what? We have that Red Riding Hood one that's coming out later this year, right? With Felicia Day as Red. Isn't that coming out?
Isn't that going to be like on the channel before they
so
release
it? So is Tin Man.
Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, this is like in sci-fi's
right.
vein of
right.
kind of fairy tale-ish sort of
stuff.
Stories.
Yeah, because they got nothing else, including a decent name.
Well, I mean, they do have some good shows.
They suck dicks.
They have good shows. Eureka is still very good. Warehouse 13 is very good. Fuck. Stargaze Universe, I'm pretty much enjoying. I don't really dig Caprica.
Okay.
Who, I hear, is very good, although I don't watch it.
The Who? They're awesome.
No, Doctor Who.
Oh. They're not on sci-fi.
I thought they aired those on sci-fi.
No.
They only air on BBC America?
I think so.
I don't think they're on sci-fi.
I don't think so.
Anyway. Nonetheless.
Okay. Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out this week. Only a couple, so as to not take up all day. Kevin Smith and Jonathan Lau bring us Green Hornet number 6 from Dynamite with a very intriguing cover, I must say, by Alex Ross. You see that?
Well, it's very pretty.
That would be the Green Hornet making out with Kato. Kato in the Kevin Smith book is a girl.
Is a chick.
Yeah. And without going into much detail, which I think would take away from people's enjoyment of the story, I'm going to say this book is really getting interesting now. Very interesting.
Very interesting. Okay.
Yes. From DC Comics, check out Streets of Gotham. This returns us. Is it returns us? Yes, I believe so. This brings back the character of Hush in this story.
Huh.
Which okay. I thought we were done with, but
well, I thought so too.
It's called House of Hush Part 1. Paul Dini writes this one. He's the one that did the animated series.
Right.
So check that out. We like Paul Dini here on the show. And one from Marvel. I want you to begin your fascination with this.
Really?
The Marvel Man Primer, Inside the World of Marvel Man. Exclusive Joe Quesada interviews Marvel Man creator Mick Anglo.
Wow.
It also comes with the Joe Quesada cover.
Boo Laga.
Which, of course, is the poster they released.
Right.
And this, I assume this was supposed to come out before Marvel Man Family Finest number 1, which is already out. Marvel Man Classic Volume 1 Premier Hardcover Limited Edition is not out yet.
Okay.
Marvel is all over the place with this series, with these characters. Okay, so just to give a brief history of the situation here. Marvel Man was a strip printed sometime in the late 50s or early 60s or something like that, over in England, created by this guy, Mick Anglo, Years later, it was written or taken back up, if you will, by Alan Moore and some other fellas in Britain. They put it in a magazine. Do you remember what that magazine was called, sir?
Oh, God, no.
Warrior Magazine.
Oh, right, right.
Warrior Magazine also gave us V for Vendetta, amongst other things. And then in the 80s, changed the name to Miracle Man because Marvel had sued them at some point saying you can't call him Marvel Man. Changed the name to Miracle Man, and then Alan wrote the character for a little company, a little comic book company called, do you remember what the company was called, sir?
No.
That was Eclipse Comics.
Right, Eclipse.
And they were purchased by the company, and all of its assets were purchased by Todd McFarlane.
Right.
Right. But Alan Moore had left the book at that point, and he had turned over all the rights to the book to Neil Gaiman.
Right.
So Neil Gaiman had the rights to Miracle Man, and Todd McFarlane claimed he had the rights to Miracle Man.
Right.
And there was this huge lawsuit. There's a lot of stabbing back and forth. Is it still going? I think it might.
I think it's fully resolved.
No, not the Miracle Man stuff. No. The Marvel Man stuff, yes, because clearly Mick Anglo owns Marvel Man.
Right.
So Marvel is now reprinting all of the British Marvel Man stuff. Marvel Man Family's Finest Number One was the first one to come out. They printed it in black and white on crappy paper, but they still charged $4 for it, which is kind of a point of contention between just about everybody who's a fan. Because, A, why would you charge $4 for a black and white comic book, even if it is from Marvel? At least color it. At least.
Right.
Right? But anyway, not to get that far away from it, the Marvel Man Primer actually is a... it's exactly what it says it is. It tells you about all the characters that you will encounter in the books, in the Marvel Man books, who would eventually become Miracle Man, again, just to, so we're clear about that, and has an interview with Mick Anglo done by super douche editor-in-chief Joe Quesada of Marvel Comics. Lots of old art, sketch art, and so on and so forth. Lots of brand new art about the characters. I think it's a great book for you to read before you try to dive into the Marvel Man stuff.
Right.
Not Miracle Man, because that's not settled yet.
Correct.
This is certainly an indication that Marvel is thinking that maybe they'll end up with Miracle Man. As you may remember, they backed
Neil Gaiman
court-wise, and in return, Neil did Marvel 1602 for them.
Right.
And with the theory being that if Neil was granted the entire rights to all the Miracle Man stuff, that Marvel would then reprint all the Miracle Man stuff. Which, by the way, the 80s Miracle Man stuff is considered by many to be the best comic book writing ever done. Which is kind of a lot to say, considering all the great books that have come out.
Right.
But they say that is, and I've read them, and they are spectacular. That is considered by many people, scholars, comic scholars and other types, that it's the best stuff ever. It's never been reprinted because no one knows who has the rights. The single issues are almost unreachably expensive. And the trade, they actually did some trades, some hardcover editions collecting some of those issues. They are impossible to find. And when you do find them, they are several hundred dollars a piece to get.
Yeah, that's ridiculous for
a
trade.
Yeah. So there it is. It's Marvel Man, the Marvel Man Primer. Going to cost you $4. This one at least seems like it's worth the $4, unlike the Marvel Man Family Finest One black and white newsprint $4 comic they put out a couple of weeks ago. And one more thing.
Okay.
While we shovel along here. You know I'm a great fan of these books. It's a Treasury of 20th Century Murders, formerly Treasury of 19th Century Murder. He's now transitioned into the 20th century. Our pal Rick Geary, who is a very great, I think, underused artist, very stylized art, and he's done tons of these sort of biopic comics on murderers of the 19th and 20th century. Some of the ones in the past have included Lizzie Borden, Jack the Ripper, so on and so forth. Now in the 20th century, he's tackling the terrible Axeman of New Orleans.
Okay.
So the hardcover's out, usually followed close upon by the softcover. Hardcover going to run you about $16. Softcover about, I guess, 9 or 10 thereabouts. Yeah. So there it is. Check it out. It's a bit of history. It's a bit of great black and white art, very stylized, and terrific historical insights and perspectives. You got to love Rick Geary. You go to a con that Rick Geary's at, you go and check out his stuff, you won't be disappointed.
I know you didn't mention it, but also this week, I believe a True Blood comic book came out, too, this week. I think issue one of that miniseries.
HBO and IDW, yeah. Was that this week?
I believe so, yes.
Was that this week or last week?
No, I think it was this week.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product. This is, we want to just touch on this really quickly. I don't know if OG does, but I want to touch on it really quickly.
It's Star Wars. I'm in.
It's Star Wars. It's not new product, though, per se, but it is, but it isn't. The brand new carding has happened.
Right.
For all of the 3¾ Star Wars action figures in the, what you would call, I guess, the contemporary, let's call it the contemporary line.
Okay.
Okay, so this would include Clone Wars and the other lines that they're continuing, kind of just the regular sort of stuff that they've kind of continuing what they've done, but they're doing the new blue packaging now.
Right.
Right. On the vehicles, it's referred to as the sky packaging.
Okay.
Because you have, what's his name on there, looking off into the sky. Great packaging. They also, each figure now comes with a unique card where you can play the Galactic Battle Game. So the character has a base. Right, this card fits into the base, and there is a game you can play. A die, I believe, also comes. Yes, a die comes with this also. So now, in addition to having great figures, there is sort of a tabletop element.
Okay.
To a tabletop gaming element to Star Wars figures. So, you know, they're always coming up with these little things like this. Remember comm chips?
Right, right.
Remember, you know, all that sort of. At one point, they were putting little tiny holographic looking figures in there.
And way back when, remember they had those motion cards when you pulled on the tab?
Yeah.
It changed.
Yep, that's true. They had a, so they always have some little gimmick. This one I think is a little better than some of the ones in the past.
This is the weapons pack or the accessory pack thing, right?
Right. They made, that was one of them also. Yeah. But now each one comes with a card. It comes with a game base. You kind of slide the car in there. Yeah, it looks really neat. They show a little bit of it on the back there. And most importantly, like we said, the brand new carding is out. I think it's really terrific. I think the game might be really terrific also. Also, special offer, get an exclusive Galactic Battle Mat and Sergeant Brick figure.
Ooh. Fancy.
I didn't know they were doing such a thing. That must be a late addition because we were not told that at Toy Fair. So there it is. All the more special stuff happening with the brand new Star Wars packaging. Also, secret code inside for something to do with the Clone Wars and Cartoon Network. Not sure what that is either. But a lot of stuff going on with Star Wars figures. Right now also, I think Toys R Us running their Christmas in July sale, 2 for $10.
So available now that you mentioned Toys R Us.
Yes.
Oh, wait, you have another
I do, but do you
want... I have an aside that is not Star Wars related.
All right, well, then let's finish
Toys
out.
R Us related.
Well, we got to talk about this. Now also hitting, actually, I believe officially they're supposed to hit August the 6th. But, of course, there are some unscrupulous people. And I, of course, am one of them. No, but I did manage to find some of the brand new Star Wars The Vintage Collection at my local Toys R Us. So we're going to be able to talk about these. And so what this is we talked about they were going to do this at Toy Fair, and now it's actually in our hands. What they've done is their intention is to remake every Star Wars figure from the 70s and 80s.
Ever made.
Ever made, right. and do a detailed, because the technology is here now to do this, a detailed, articulated, much more movie accurate version of the figures that they did when we were children.
Right.
Right. But the great part about it is, in a nod to us collectors who have been with this since 77, which is how many years now?
33 years.
33. Wow. Damn. 33 years of collecting, in a nod to these collectors. They have packaged these new vintage figures. They're not vintage figures, so they're all updated, but they're on the vintage card from the 70s or 80s. Now,
right.
The first batch coming out are all on their Empire Strikes Back cards.
Right.
I'm holding in my hand a Darth Vader, maybe one of the best looking Vader action figures I've ever seen. It looks really spot on, really well done, and it's great, and it's on the Empire Strikes Back Vader card.
I need one of those.
On the front.
I know, I need one of those.
On the back, they show you a picture of the original figure on the original card. They explain what they're doing with these Star Wars figures, these vintage figures. And then you see more characters available on the back. On the back of the Vader, I see Cloud Car Pilot, Dengar, Luke Skywalker, Leia, and Han Solo. Absolutely terrific. Let me add one more wrinkle, sir.
Okay, go for it.
Free Boba Fett with the purchase of any 5 Star Wars action figures.
This is the fancy rocket firing Boba Fett?
Correct. So this is, now check this. This is the vintage Boba Fett figure. So this is not a brand new updated articulated version of Boba Fett. There actually is a Boba Fett, a vintage Boba Fett in this line, in this vintage line that they've released. But the Malloway figure is the backpack firing figure they promised us in 1980, but were unable to deliver us because it was a safety hazard. Well, now they've found a way to do it. So you're actually getting the retro figure with what? 1, 2, 3, 4 points of articulation from the old molds with the actual firing backpack.
Right.
So you send in your proofs of purchase. And you get that. Isn't that great?
That is fancy.
So there it is. Brand new Star Wars products, but a nod to the 33 years of collecting these fine toys. I'm 26 now, so I can remember way back then.
Times 1.5?
Yes, times 1.5. That makes sense. Yes, times 1.5, which would make me with... Shut up. Stupid
Pretty
math.
Close.
Stupid math.
Pretty close.
The point is, sir, that I've been collecting for a while. I think what a terrific way to go with these pieces. So bravo to Hasbro. Even says Kenner on the front. The whole entire front card is correct.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, really, really great stuff. I'm really excited about that. You had something?
I did. ToysRUs.com. has opened up on their website pre-orders for the Masterpiece Edition Grimlock figure, which is coming out later this year. So you
really?
Go online and pre-order that figure now.
Is that the one they're selling in San Diego?
They're not selling one at San Diego.
Yes, they are. It's an exclusive.
To who?
Mattel.
It's not to Hasbro.
It's to Hasbro, yeah.
I did not see it on the list of exclusives on the Hasbro website.
Really?
Unless they added it last minute. But I don't believe that Hasbro was selling that piece.
That was their Transformers
exclusive. They have a different one. It's Shockwave, or it's the other cassette player. It's the Autobot cassette player.
Oh,
the,
really?
The sound, not
Boombox?
Maybe the Shockwave.
No, Shockwave is like a ray gun, isn't he?
I don't remember. It's whoever the Autobot
Tape deck is.
Really? Is the San Diego exclusive.
I thought for sure saw Grimlock.
Grimlock is a TRU exclusive.
Are you going to be purchasing one?
I will be purchasing
one. Have you ordered it already?
I have not placed that order yet. It just opened, I think, last night. So
I advise you to place that order forthwith, sir.
Yes, I understand.
Now, clearly this episode is going to air after San Diego, probably. Right?
So we'll have it confirmed before the next episode.
Yes, clearly. But my question to you is, and you're going out to cover San Diego Comic-Con for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the SiriusXM side.
Sure.
Right? And since you're going out to that show,
Yes.
I'm wondering, since we brought up exclusives, what exclusives are you looking forward to purchasing?
Wow, that's a tough one. Definitely the Tron pieces.
Okay, hold on there, OG. I hate to interrupt you, but
that is
the D&D intro music.
Right.
Which means it must be time for our Dungeons & Dragons D&D update of the week.
Right.
So for those of you that don't know, which would be none of you, we are taking an in-depth look at Dungeons & Dragons, the 4th edition, and all of the products therein, if you will. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Monster Manual 3.
Right.
So in addition to us talking about it, if you'd like to learn more about this or other D&D products, go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. Monster Manual 3. Any guesses as to what might be in here, sir?
Monsters.
Excellent.
In manual form.
Yes. Very good. Anything else? Any other bits of insight?
New dragons.
New dragons. Very good, sir. Very
yes.
good. Yeah, so this is the third volume of creepy, crawly, wondrous sorts of creatures, if you will.
Featuring the natural disaster dragons.
The apparently. Natural disaster dragons, yes. I was very excited about that. I'm actually thinking that they may make an appearance in one of our games, which we are going to play.
They have to release a Dragonomicon same. 2 now.
Just to have those?
Just to have the natural disaster dragons in there.
I don't think you should be mocking the natural disaster.
The volcano, dragons. Blizzard.
It's actually, it's
sandstorm.
It's actually.
Tsunami dragon.
Just so I can correct you, sir. It is the catastrophic dragons.
Oh, my bad.
And it is the blizzard dragon.
Right.
The volcanic dragon.
Right.
And the earthquake dragon.
That's all so. Natural disasters.
Sure. Okay.
Effects are, in fact, catastrophic.
Correct. And what you get in the Monster Manual, like Monster Manuals that have come before it, is you get all of the stats to have any one of these creatures appear in your game. So if you're a DM or a guy creating a game, it's all here. It tells you the lore. It tells you some possible encounters that you might meet these creatures in. Then it gives you all the stats, all the special abilities, all the stuff you're looking for that you're going to need to run these characters, these creatures, rather, in your game, especially if you're a DM. In addition, in the back of the book, there's an updated D&D glossary for all the terms that you hear used throughout the D&D books. They like to make sure that, you know, you're getting the most updated versions. Speaking of updates, Monster Manual 3 also updates some creatures that have already appeared in other books. The Cloaker, the Nalfishni Demon, Mimic, Quasit, Rock Grub, and the Three Creen. One of
the what?
The Three Creen, one of OG's favorites.
Which one is that?
The buggy ones that have like the little crystal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Things.
Fuck them guys.
They're from Dark Sun, sir. Originally.
I know where they're from.
And you know why they're updating them, of course, because we are looking forward so much to the reappearance of Dark Sun for the first time in 4th edition, but for us a reappearance. We enjoyed Dark Sun back in the day. So, Monster Manual 3. Guess what, sir? Over 220 pages.
Yes.
Of creatures, demons, things that you can put in your dungeons or just read about. It's terrific stuff. I like to just read them. You know what I mean? And as a player, you want to read this sort of stuff so that you have kind of an idea about maybe, you know, what you're facing.
Sure.
So
how
forth.
Do you have a player?
What's
who,
that called? Metagaming?
Right. Metagaming. How do you have a player who,
that's bad.
Who reacts to, you know, he hears the name of a beastie. How is he supposed to react in game
right.
if he doesn't know what the beastie is?
Exactly. This one's going to run you $34.95, well worth it for over 200 pages of info, I say. All full-color photos, drawings, illustrations. No photos, because that would be really weird.
That would be really strange.
Lots of drawings and illustrations, though. Check it out. Again, for information, more information on Monster Manual 3 or other D&D products, go over to D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
Hey, let's, I know at this point usually we'll take a break. We're going to run a little long today to talk to you about a little event that OG and I attended. We attended the Sony PlayStation Holiday Preview.
It was the 2010 seasonal event.
Is that what it was? It was
the actual title of the event. And holy jeebus.
Right. And the word, of course, is 3D. 3D. Right. Of course.
I'm still not sold on this whole 3D movie thing. Meaning, I don't think that every movie ever produced needs to be put in 3D. However, 3D gaming?
Whole nother ball game.
Wow.
Yeah, we were able to check out some games. Let's mention a few of those.
And I want to say, we saw them in a really good order. Because I believe that the experience escalated.
Oh, yeah.
In the order that we saw them.
Right.
We started with Monster Storm Apocalypse.
Right.
Right, which was a
driving game. Right.
Game mechanics were really cool. Graphics and effects were really cool. But the 3D, the rendering, was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind
just of... Just ridiculous.
It's kind of a post-apocalyptic driving game, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Like when buildings are falling
when
down.
When the buildings are collapsing on you and the rubble is kicking back in your face. And I mean, just wow. We followed that up with Tron Evolution.
Right.
In 3D.
Whoa.
All right, so the regular levels in 3D, right?
Yeah.
Were pretty all right.
Pretty cool.
Like, they were like, all right.
I liked them.
The 3D was nice.
Yeah.
Gameplay looked really interesting.
It did.
I like the mechanics of gameplay. I like having the disc as a blocking mechanism.
Right.
I like how you feed off of the grid in order to re-energize yourself rather than get powered, like new things.
Uh-huh.
The premise behind the game is that this is a bridge between the original movie and the new movie.
Uh-huh.
And you're playing a security program that's taking on a virus.
Right.
In the system. The virus's name is Braxis, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
So the regular levels, very intense, very cool, look awesome. But holy shit, the light cycle levels. Wow. And with the 3D, when you make the hard right.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Crazy.
Dude. I mean, that's how a Tron light cycle game needs to be played.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. But we should say now, you're going to need the 3D TV. For these.
You are going to need the 3D TV
I
and
got
the 3D
one.
Glasses.
I think other people are going to be getting them, so I don't think it's, you know, not impossible to say that people are going to have more of them as these games hit, I would say. Some other games we saw...
Hold on, we got one more 3D game we need to mention that I think takes the cake.
Which was what?
Killzone 3.
Oh, yeah, Killzone was pretty hot.
It's 3.
It was 3?
Yeah. Zoom in on the sniper... And the whole screen becomes a 3D scope in your glasses.
Yeah.
And then the jetpack level.
Yeah.
That game looks really, really intense. We are excited to be covering these games in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but there were some games that were not 3D.
There were some awesome games that were not 3D.
We saw Gran Turismo 5.
Which, while it was fun to play,
it was very difficult with the
steering wheel.
It was much more fun to watch OG try to play.
I looked like a pinball. When you're done with your race, they replay the race.
Yeah.
And I was just bouncing off of walls in the wrong direction. I looked like a pinball.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we see? The new Medal of Honor?
Right. The new Medal of Honor, which is just called Medal of Honor.
And it's not a reimagination.
No.
But it is a modern version. Like, they're bringing it to Afghanistan.
Yeah, they're in Afghanistan. Right? And
the level that we saw, and actually, I believe beta is open for that now, and we're going to be playtesting beta in the very near future. We'll come back to you with some information on that.
Right, right.
But I mean, calling in the airstrikes, I mean, dude.
Awesome stuff.
Awesome stuff.
We also saw Dead Space 2. Dead Space 1 was a huge hit.
Right.
Dead Space 2, was that one in 3D?
No, that was not in 3D.
Was that not in 3D? We did see Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Wow.
That game was amazing. So, that was in 3D.
So we're watching the Assassin's Creed 3 demo. Now, most of this stuff I think you had seen at E3 for Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Except that I don't think that you saw the actual Brotherhood stuff.
Right.
I think that stuff might have been new.
Yeah, new.
So you know, you're in this crowd of people. It's like 1-on-50, and you got this maneuver. And now this is late in the game after you've amassed the group and progressed pretty far.
Right.
But you got this control maneuver where you just call down a brotherhood of assassins to do what is essentially the dirty work. They kill, they distract, they swing from the rooftops. I mean, that game looked freaking awesome.
Pretty amazing. Let's talk about some of the hardware coming out. PlayStation is really going to be pushing a couple of brand new items, sir, like the PlayStation Move motion controller.
And we got to play with this a little bit for Tiger Woods Golf. We got to mess around with it a little bit. The feel is great.
Right.
We also got to play the demo game that comes with the control.
Okay.
And it's pretty basic. It's like a fighting type game where if you've got just one PlayStation Move controller, you're controlling the main weapon hand.
Right.
But if you happen to have two, you're controlling the weapon hand with one and like a shield and block
with the other.
Mm-hmm. And while the demo itself wasn't an amazing game, you could see where the technology is progressing. Now, I didn't think that it was leaps and bounds better than, let's say, the Wiimote and the Nunchuck at this point. Although I could easily see it progressing to a new level in the future. And I think that's what we have to look forward to.
Can you imagine God of War?
Yes.
With two moves? I know. I mean, that's crazy.
It would be sick. It would be absolutely
sick.
That's
crazy talk. Also, the PlayStation Eye camera, which I think you need... You need the camera and the Move controller, right? Isn't that how that works?
I believe so, because I think that the Move actually controls what it is you're seeing on the screen. The Eye camera makes it, what we saw again was a demo of the software or the hardware, and it kind of was like a paint program,
right? Yes.
So like the camera is mounted on the top of the TV and it's picking up a picture of yourself. So you're seeing your picture of yourself on the TV. And then with the Move, you're controlling, like, you're painting yourself and, like, you know, adding goofy hats and, you know, it's like silly shit, but still looked very cool.
Over 30 games coming for PlayStation Move this holiday season, sir.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think we saw Mafia 2 was there.
Uh-huh. I don't know if that was that a Move game?
I don't know if that was a Move
game. I don't think that was a Move game, sir. But you're right. We did see Mafia 2. We saw a bunch of stuff, man. It was all fantastic. It was a little overwhelming, some of it.
Yeah, you know, and it was a really great event. It was small, but it was perfect.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It was well organized. It was very tight. Allowed us to get in there, really get a feel for these games. We didn't have to battle the crowds that you'd be battling at E3, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, there's some exciting stuff, and I think we're going to be talking about a lot of it going forward. Hopefully we'll have some promotions and giveaways in conjunction with Sony and PlayStation going
forward.
And,
we should mention also we saw some PSP games, like the new God of War Ghost of Sparta was probably the standout one for us there. And also they're going to have some more PSN games, which is the PlayStation Nation, or it's like their online thing.
Oh,
what do they call that? Network,
PlayStation Network. Yeah. Yes,
including Dead Nation, which is like the zombie game I think everybody has always wanted. It certainly seems like it is, anyway. So, we saw stuff across the Sony PlayStation platform, if you will, and we were impressed by all of it. I don't think there was anything we were just like, eh, that's kind of eh.
Yeah,
I think we dug it all.
Yeah, I mean it was an awesome event and great stuff, and we're looking forward going forward.
So there it is.
There it is.
And now, I think we'll take our final break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 198, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group, they do that show, there's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes, all shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7, and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice, maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, the king of cult films, live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, this is David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 198, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
Uh-huh. OG, what did we talk about on this inaugural episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast?
Captain America, not an American. Sam Raimi saddling up for ERP, Sinners and Saints. The Flash Gordon coming to us, hopefully less campy and hopefully good. Nick Cage up for Ghost Rider 2, The Spirit of Vengeance. Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the rumor mill for Riddler, which is not confirmed. Olivia Munn has an appearance on Chuck, and she's a phony.
Yes,
also,
she is.
Some awesome images online this week of The Walking Dead first cast pick, Thor wielding Mjolnir, and some concept photo banners of Cap and Thor as well.
At the very least, maybe we'll actually find out what the name of that hammer is supposed to sound like.
In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about a couple of DVDs this week that you might want to check out. Cop Out is on that list,
yeah.
In addition to The Losers, also on that list, The Super Friends Season 1, Volume 2, and perhaps Tin Man on Blu-ray.
Perhaps.
In comic books this week, there was a handful that we wanted to point out to you and mention, one of which was the True Blood miniseries starting this week, and a couple others.
Yes, from Rick Geary, Treasury of 20th Century Murder, The Terrible Axeman of New Orleans, Batman Streets of Gotham, number 14 from DC, Green Hornet, number 6 from Dynamite, and the Marvel Man Primer from Marvel Comics. Those make up the comics this week.
In our product review portion of tonight, we have some old but new but old but what? Star Wars figures.
Right. The standard Star Wars line and the Clone Wars get new packaging and a brand new Galactic Battle game card stand and die with every pack, which is terrific. And, of course, the long-awaited vintage figure project is what I'm calling it. This is Hasbro's attempt to remake every Star Wars figure that was ever made in the 70s or 80s, update it, articulate it, make it awesome like they all are now. But they're on, at least the front, is the vintage card. And then there's mail-away opportunities for all sorts of stuff, as we mentioned. Check it out at your local toy store. Toys R Us, I think, is flooded with all these. Except the vintage won't be out, I think, officially until August 6th. So keep an eye out for it.
In our D&D product review tonight, we have the new Monsters Manual, Monsters Manual Volume
3,
uh-huh. With the new Catastrophic Dragons. I mean, that's not all that's in there, but
no.
Certainly they stand out amongst the pack.
Over 220 pages for $35. You can't go wrong. It's a great read. Check it out. Over at dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
And also, wrapping up tonight's show, we talked about the Sony seasonal 2010 event, 3D gaming, and the Sony Move.
PlayStation Move.
That's where it is.
Right, PlayStation camera. There was some PSP stuff, some PSN stuff. We saw an entire array of Sony PlayStation products and services, if you will.
And we
all
were...
of this stuff coming out between now and I think the first quarter of next year.
Yeah.
So between like now and March.
Right.
Everything that we talked about tonight should be out and available. And hopefully you'll hear us talk about
most
all of it.
Most of it for Christmas, sir.
Yeah. I think Killzone 3 was February.
Oh, was it? Okay.
And there was one other one that I
holiday.
Think was end of February or March.
Christmas.
So there.
Right. Got to say holiday, not Christmas.
Right there.
Because the people celebrating Kwanzaa would not
the
appreciate
Jews
that.
Might be upset.
Okay. I was going with your people, but all right, whatever. It's fine. Those are your other people. So.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, which include the photo gallery, links to important things all in the show notes. We have the message boards where you can join in the conversations. We have a bunch of contests going on. Also, confirmed new Studio V's coming down the pipeline. We recorded a bunch of those.
Oh, we filmed them.
So they should be coming down the pipeline.
Yes.
Very, very shortly. Also, don't forget, you could check us out every other week over at Sirius 197, XM 202, Midnights in the East.
9 p.m. in the West.
So the next one would be August 7th. You'll be able to hear us over there. If you have something that you want to hear us address on either of our shows, please leave us a voicemail, 425-920-6050. Leave us a voicemail. You may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And also, confirmed right now, OG will give us the place for the 200th episode party. Go ahead, OG.
Close. I think we have a date.
Really?
But I'm waiting on the final confirmation now.
Okay.
So by next week, I think I'll have a full answer.
Ooh!
But don't hold me to it.
God forbid. We'll be on episode 273 by the time.
That's how we have our 200th episode celebration.
We want to do it.
I think that's it for this week's episode.
I'm a little upset because we had a surprise in store and it doesn't look like it's happening.
It'll wait.
Okay.
It'll keep.
Just saying.
It's not going to spoil or go bad. That's all that I'm saying.
And
as long as it's refrigerated, it's okay.
And I will close this episode by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield are killed. Then he's led to a fight in a duelist.